بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله تعالى: إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. This chapter is a very important chapter, especially in these days. I must say that is extremely important subject, which is about not having the love for the worldly gain. And not allowing the love of this dunya, of the worldly gain, to get into our hearts. Unfortunately, nowadays, the main goal of every person's life is to grab as much as we can from the worldly gain. In the childhood, children like to gather toys, candies. If you have two toys, you need a third one. If you have four of them, you need a fifth one. If you have ten, you need the 11th one. And you never say this is enough. Whenever you go to the store and you see the toys over there, you feel that this is the something that you don't have and I need something like this also. And you buy that one, next time you go and you feel that that one wasn't that good, I need this one too. Then you go to your friend's home and you see your friends have some different type of toys. You come back home and start crying to your parents that I need that one too because he has it. You have two candies. You have two candies. And now you see a bag full of candies. Look around, parents looking, no. Pick up a bunch of them, put them in your pocket. You go to someone's locker, you see a whole bag full of chocolate bars. You know that you have it in your locker too, but this is a free one. Let's pick it up and take it. As the people grow up, now they will start looking for different things. The criteria is same. We need more of the worldly gain. If the person is at the age of being able to drive the car, what's the age? 17 or 18? 18. And now you get your license. And you start looking at the cars. This car is good, yeah, I can drive this one. And then you see a better car and you feel that I need that one. And now you shoot for that one. And then after some time when you get that one, and then you see something better, and now you want the better one. We never get satisfied. This is the love for the worldly gain. And everyone is just running day and night trying to grab whatever he can of the worldly gain. Unfortunately, it have gone so bad that even those people who are learning Islam and seeking the knowledge of Deen, they are trying to grab the worldly gain through the knowledge of Deen. They are trying to grab more money by this Quran and Hadith. This is the worst thing we can think of. This is the worst extreme we can even think about. Of course, when a person is becoming a doctor, of course, he's becoming a doctor to earn money. Other person became a lawyer, he became a lawyer to make money. Other person became an architect, so he became an architect to get money. But if a person becoming a scholar and alim and hafiz, why is he becoming a scholar? To get money? Then he's a wrong field. He better become a doctor, go in some other fields. It must be some of his parents force him that you must become a scholar, but he has in his mind that whatever I come and whatever I learn, through that I'm going to get money. This is all I need in my life. I need money. And everyone is having the love for the worldly gain in his heart, in his mind. Our hearts are full of love for this worldly gain. You see, $100 bill, you feel like taking it. Oh, I wish I can have it. You see someone holding some money in his hand, and you feel that he might give it to me. He might give me a gift. You see someone having a nice set of pens. How about if he gives it to me? And sometime we go and talk to the people. First thing, you have a pen in your pocket, you hide it in the other pocket, and you go and tell him, can I borrow your pen to write with? And then he gives you the pen. He never asks you any question. He gives you a pen. Okay, go ahead and write it. Oh yeah, I always feel like I want to buy something like this also. I like this type of pen. Where do you get it from? And still that person, although he understood what you mean now, but he pretends that he doesn't understand what you mean, and he is still waiting for you that you finish writing and you give him the pen. And then you start talking to him more about it. It's a very nice pen. It writes so smooth. I really love this pen. And this is all showing that how much love of these worldly things we have in our hearts, in our minds. We got to remember this is something obligatory on all of us to get it out of our hearts. The love of this worldly gain has to come out of our minds. This is called zuhud in Islam. Zahadal. Zuhud. Zuhud means getting the love of the worldly gain out of our hearts. Because as long as this love is there in our hearts, we will not be able to have the love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love for Islam, and love for Quran, and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will claim it. And we all do claim, but we will never have it in our hearts. It will never get into our minds. Because these two things are totally contradictory to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the worldly life and worldly gains. This is why in Quran, although He is the one who created it, who created the universe? Allah. He is the one who created it. And now He tells us that I don't like it. It's bad. A very simple way to understand this will be, you go to a factory, a company where they make medicine. And now comes the president of the company. He comes to you and he's showing you all the product and he shows you one of the bottles. He says, you know this tablet? Have you ever seen this before? And you tell him, no, I have never seen this type of tablet before. And he opens the bottle, he gets it out and puts it in your hand. He puts that in your hand. And he tells you, don't eat it. Don't eat it. I'm just showing it to you. Keep it in your hand. Don't eat it. Because these tablets are of poison. We made it of poison. Why did you make this for? He says, you know, in our town, we have so many rats that we mix this tablet with the rat food and we keep it on the street so the rat comes and eats it and then it dies. So we use it for rats, it's not for human beings, but this is a type of tablet, you know. And you tell him, you know, but it looks so nice. It likes one of the candies that I used to eat. And he says, but make sure you don't eat it. Yeah, that's fine. You know, I know that it's not good because he made it. He knows about it. So you trust him too. And you look at it and still you feel like it's so nice. And you're waiting for him that he goes right and left. He goes here and there. And now all of a sudden he says, oh, I remember. There was another type of tablet. I must show you that one. And he runs to the other room. And meanwhile, you lick the tablet and try to see how does it taste. And to your surprise, when you licked it, it was sweet. So now he comes back and he sees the tablet in your hand, and you know also that he told you you are not supposed to eat it. And you talk to him and talk to him and you ask him, how does it taste, by the way? And he tells you, you know, so that we can make the rats eat it, we have some honey and some cheese on it. So it's coated with honey and cheese. So if you just lick it, it will be sweet. Now you feel that he's saying that, I don't know. I must eat one. And you hide one in your pocket. When you put all of them in the pot and the bottle, you hide one in your pocket and later on you try to eat it. What would happen if you eat it? You would die. You're going to hurt your health. This is exactly what the situation of the worldly gain is of this dunya is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us, now don't eat it. This is poison. This is bad. Which means don't have the love of it in your heart. Don't let the love of it sink in your heart. Keep it in your pocket. It's safe to keep it in the pocket. Keep it in your pocket. But make sure, don't put it in your mouth. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the worldly gain. Keep it in your pocket. Keep it in your account. Keep it at your home. Don't take it into your heart. As soon as it will get into your heart, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your iman. It's going to destroy your akhirah. And in fact, it will even destroy your this worldly life. Might be another better example. When you go to a home and you see the bathroom, such a nice bathroom. You know, nowadays people make real nice bathrooms in their homes. Don't ask me for what, but then they make real nice bathrooms. A lot of lights, mirrors, flowers, nice beautiful tiles. Why do they make that bathroom for? To go and have a dinner over there? Of course not. It's only to go over there to fulfill the natural calls. Before he went, he put the air freshener on also, so it smells nice. By the time when he comes out, now the next person can't stand it over there. And people in the room, in the bedroom are shouting him, what are you doing there? The whole house stinks. So the bathroom, we have to have the bathroom. Irrespective how nice you make it, that's not the place to go and enjoy over there and to go and sit and try to have rest over there. That's the place where you go for your nature call, for necessities of the life. As soon as you're done, you walk out. Flush it and walk out. That's it. You don't spend more time over there. This is exactly the situation of our worldly life. We must have it. We have to have it. We have to have it for food. We have to have it for our living. But just get as much as you need. Just like you sit in the bathroom for as long as you have to. Then you leave it and do what you have to do in the real life. Same thing. This worldly gain is only for whatever we need. And as much as we need, and rest of it, just leave it. Don't mess around with it. You keep on messing around in the bathroom, you're going to spoil yourself. By the time you come out, you will be stinking too. So, same thing, don't mess around with this worldly gain. Don't try to get into it. It's a big challenge. It's a real big challenge. Most of the times we don't realize that the love of this worldly gain is destroying us. It's getting us out of track. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the worldly gain. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates this gold and silver, money, dollars, pennies. There is a hadith that will explain that to us. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by a dead goat. And it was stinking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped over there. So the Sahaba also stopped over there. He asked the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, what do you think this worth? Do you think the owner of this goat would come to look for it? They said, no, ya Rasulullah, they have no value of this goat whatsoever. This is why they have thrown it over here. This is a garbage. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the owner of this universe, does not have the value of this universe even as much as these people have the value of this gold. Not even that much. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كثر منها شربة ما أو كما قال عليه السلام. If this dunya had a value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even as much as the wing of a mosquito, what is it worth? A wing of a mosquito. You break the wing of a mosquito and give it to someone. This is a gift. What is it worth? If this worldly gain and anything in this life had the value in the sight of Allah even as much as the wing of a mosquito, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give a disbeliever even a sip of water. One sip of the water to drink from it, if it had any value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't worth anything. This is why He gives it to disbelievers. Go ahead and take it. This is garbage. So this worldly gain is really nothing to have any love for it. Just think about yourself. In the childhood, how many toys we had, and we really loved those toys. If we missed them, we used to cry. If anyone would take it away from us, we would fight for it. We would cry. Remember it. And then you had your candies. Someone will pull the candy away from you. You keep on crying. What are you crying for? You shout. What are you crying for? What are you shouting for? He took my candy. I want it back. And now, when you look at children crying for that candy, you laugh at them. But this was our situation. Then it comes the time for toys. We used to play with toys. You have a small car, you have a nice small home that you play with. And someone breaks your home, you cry just like someone has burned the real home. In fact, you won't even care about your father's home as much as you care about your small home. You'd pick up anything and smash the wall in your home, at your father's home. But about your home, you don't want nothing to happen to it. You pick up the paints and you keep on marking on the walls at the home that you live in. But the small home that you play with, you won't even let your father to touch it. And now we realize that that wasn't worth it. And really, what do those homes worth? Nothing. It's garbage. And they all gone in the garbage. And now we fight for different things. At some age, we might fight for bikes. Then we fight for cars. And we fight for homes. What's all of this? You go to the junkyard and you see the cars and how they trash the cars over there and how they break them apart and they melt them and they get the metal out of it. This is all what it worth to those people. Get the metal out of it. You go and sell that car. You go to the junkyard and ask him, how much would you give me for this car? If he's a nice guy, I'll tell you, I'll give you $50 for the car. Because this is all what is worth for him. He's going to get the metal out of it. This is the same car that 10, 15 years back, people might have even sold their iman to buy that car. They skipped their prayers. They missed the Jummah. They took interest, loan, to go and buy that car. 15 years later, is in the junkyard, worth only $50, and that's only if he gives you those $50. Otherwise, he might tell you that you have to pay me $50 to come and pick up the car. This is the same thing that some years back, a person had sold his iman, his faith, and his deen, and the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for that car. You see a car that caught on a fire. Or sometimes they auction a home. Why they are auctioning the home? Because the old man, the owner of the house, died. He has no relatives to take care of his assets. So they are selling his home now. And in order for them to get rid of it quickly, they are auctioning it. That might be the same house that a person sold everything for it. In fact, he was having war against Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by taking loan from the banks, dealing with banks, taking interest and buying the house, and thus having a war against Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some years later, that same house is being auctioned for a price that people cannot even think that you can sell a home for that price. This is what this world left. The reality of the worldly life is. Nothing is worth it. Everything is just dust, wood, metal, plastic. And what do these things worth? All of these things, finally, they break down, they go back into the garbage, and we throw them in the trash. You know, all the trash that's piling up, it's billions of dollars of people. That's the money that we were working hard for it, and those are the items that we really want, and we were looking for it, and we were always planning to have them, and after using them for some years, we got tired of it, and now they broke down, we throw them out in the trash, and we go and buy some new ones. This is the reality of this life. This is how everything goes. And this is exactly even how we would go. What people would do to us once we die. They will put us in a nice golden casket and keep us on a high shelf in the home, that this is my mother, this is my father, this is my son, I love him. That's why I keep him over here. In fact, they don't even like to see us in that home anymore. They're afraid to see us in that house, a dead body in the house. You don't want to see it. So what they do is, they would press under the ground. And finally, we become dust. So everything that we have will become dust, and we would become dust. That's the end. And, of course, that's the end of the physical life. The real life will be in the Akhirah. After our death. That's the first step to the real life. So we have to realize everything that we have in this world, no matter how nice it is, how beautiful it is, how much we love it, it's all going to be destroyed. One day, we are going to lose everything, and the world will lose us too. But unfortunately, nowadays, the goal of every person's life is have more money, get more assets, have more wealth, earn more, have more and more, as much as you can. Just keep on gathering it. Whatever you can, grab it. In the morning, when you leave home, people leave home, you know there is a rush hour. People are standing in the traffic in the big towns. They are in the traffic for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And in the evening, there is a rush hour. What all of this rush hour is for? Are all of these people going to masjid? Or they are coming back from the Jummah prayer? No. They are going to earn. After they worked and earned for 8 hours, they are coming back home. This is all the rush hour is about. That gain, earn, have money. Of course, we have to work. There are no two ways about it. We have to earn. But we have to realize we cannot make it the goal of our life. Nowadays, everyone is judged according to the wealth that he has. You go to someone's home, they look at your car. You will be treated according to the type of car that you drive. You go in a nice, new Mercedes car, not like a junk one that he drives. You go into the nice, new Mercedes car. Now they will ask you to sit on a nice couch. And they'll treat you so nicely. Come on, mashallah, open the door for him. Come on, son, go, bring some food for him, quick. And next time you go in an old car, okay, wait here. They'll make you wait outside of the door. Wait here, I'm coming back in a minute. Can you come back tomorrow? I have a very important phone call. A person was invited somewhere in a wedding. When he went there, he was wearing some old dress, dirty clothes. So people looked at him. Are you invited? He said, yes. We don't think so. Get out of here. So they kicked him out. He went back home. He put his nice dress on. And now he went back with that nice dress. And now he goes at the door and they welcome him. MashaAllah, come on, brother. Come in. And have a seat over here. And they gave him a proper seat over there. And he sits over there. And they offered him all the food. So what this person started doing was, he picked up the plates and started throwing all the food in his clothes. Filling his sleeves with the food. Filling his pockets with the food. So people ask him, what are you doing? He said, the food is in, my clothes are invited, not me. I came before also, and they didn't allow me. And now I came with these clothes, so they allow me. So they're inviting my clothes. No, they're not inviting me. If I was invited, they would allow me even with those all dirty clothes. They will allow me in with those clothes too. But they are inviting my clothes. This is why I'm feeding my clothes. So the food is for my clothes, it's not for me. So everyone nowadays is judged according to what you have. According to the money. According to the wealth. According to the job. High class people means people with a lot of money. Low class people means the people with less money. Or with no money. And this becomes, or it really became a trait of our life, something very normal. Everyone has accepted it as part of our life, that this is what we have to work for in our life, that keep on earning and earning and earning. And day and night, people are just putting the whole time in making this money. And people are working like a machine. You can just think and you can look around and you find everyone around you is working just like a money-making machine. No matter how tired you are, irrespective of how high type of job you have, be it doctors, lawyers, whoever, architects, those people who are in high categories of making the money, the factory owners, they wake up in the morning, he has a bad headache. It's not like you guys, I have a bad headache today, I have to go to sleep. Those people can't afford to go to sleep. He has to go to the job. He has to go to the work. The office is full of patients. Customers are waiting over there. The employees are not going to do the proper work. So he has to go and make sure that they take care of the customers. And everyone is just working like a machine. Morning to evening. Keep on working, working, working like a machine. Have a small lunch break. Have a coffee break. And then keep on working. And finally, at the end of the day, you get so tired that you come back home and the only thing you can think about is, let me just quickly get some dinner and sit in front of, this is, of course, I'm not saying it's good, but this is what people would do, sit in front of the TV now and have the dinner and then right there lay down and go to your bed. Next morning, wake up and back to work. Money making machines. That's all we are doing. The setup of the life is such that there is nothing else can be considered in our life. We cannot even think about anything else in our life. If people have young children, what do you do with the, what do they do with those children? Babysitter. Throw the children at the babysitter. And husband and wife, both of them will go to work. And as the children will grow, they say, Alhamdulillah, now they would go to school. Get rid of them. And put them in the schools. They don't even have a time to think of what their children are studying. Forget about asking. They can't even think. They don't have a time to think. They're so tired. Sometimes the children come to their parents. Dad, you know, I got a flower today or I got this sticker today. Oh yeah, I know, mashallah. Go to bed. He's so tired. He can't even listen to his son. And this is exactly how the whole life is running. A machine. And the whole goal is make money. And every voice you hear from around you is just make money. Look for a nice job. Look for a better job. Make more money. Have a better house. You have 3 bedrooms. Next day you start looking for a 4-bedroom home. And this is exactly how everyone is just working in this life. And as I was saying, that it's getting so bad that in every field and everyone is just considering money everything. There are no morals. There is no iman, no faith, no respect. Nothing else is considered in this life. In this society. And this society means even our people are doing the same that are impressed with this society. A woman who stays home, she's a backward woman, illiterate woman, ignorant woman. If you would like to be modern, part of the society, and a good, knowledgeable lady, then you have to leave your home and go and do the work somewhere else. A woman who stays home and keeps on serving her children, her husband, and do the work at her home, if she prepares the meal at her home, she feels, and the society also feels, that we have kept them backwards. They are not getting equal rights. And now the same woman keeps on running day and night. And finally she finds a job in the restaurant. What is she going to do now? She's going to wash the dishes over there. She's going to get the food and serve the customers that food. At her home, she did not want to serve her husband. She did not want to serve her children. She did not want to prepare the meal for her children. It was considered, and still the society considered, backward. And this woman is not given even right, even rights, because she is serving food at her home. And when she goes out and has to serve it to all the other men in the world, then she is a really learned woman and she is given equal rights. What is this? It sounds like a joke, but this is the reality of it. The air hostess, what is she doing? She's a maid, she's a servant. But, she's also going to tell very proudly that I'm an air hostess. And she would look down at those women who stay at home, they clean their homes, they clean the rooms, they vacuum their homes, they serve their own husbands, they serve their own children with all respect. That woman is backward, and this woman who has to keep on cleaning the bathrooms in the aeroplanes, or she will have to keep on cleaning the mess in the aeroplanes and serve people with food and keep on serving people. So she's servant, she keeps on serving people, and she serves everyone in the world. That's real good for her. And when she comes to serve her husband and her children, she's backward. Why? The reason I'm telling you this so you can think, why is the difference? The difference is because at her home, we feel she's not getting paid, and over there she's making money. So money is the thing that will make the difference. So money is everything. Love for your children, love for the house, respect in your community, and preserving your own respect, protecting your own honor, is nothing in the society. Everything is judged according to what you make. So they are honored only because they make money. And they also feel that they have the freedom, and they are honored because they are getting paid from there for all the services that they're offering. And at their home, they will be doing the same services, less services, much less than this. Over there in the restaurants, they're serving hundreds of people every day. They have to please all of those people. They have to keep on smiling. At the end of the day, she comes back home, she's so tired, she can't even smile to her children. And now, once they come back home, I know many of these instances is a fact of our life, in our society that we live in, with our own people, husband and wife, come back home in the evening and they fight that who's going to warm the food today and who's going to wash the dishes today. It was your turn today to keep turns. One of them will warm the food, the other one will wash the dishes. She's not going to do everything. She needs her freedom. She was doing it over there. Why were you washing the dishes over there and preparing the meal and serving the meal and everything at the same time? Why were you doing it over there? Because I was getting paid. That payment is more important than the love in the home. That money, those dollars, those bills, those pieces of papers, that junk was more important than the love at home, than the relationship with her children, with her husband. So you can imagine how down we have gone in our thinking. That we have neglected everything and we gave up everything in our life just for these worldly gains and for these dollars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. The love of the worldly gain is the main cause of every sin that's committed in the world. It's a very deep hadith. A deep hadith. You can memorize it. A few words. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love of the dunya. رَأْسُ, رَأْسُ really literally means head. كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ, every sin. The love of the worldly gain is the head, which means it's the root of every sin that people commit in this life. For example, when we miss our prayers, what are we missing the prayer for? Love of some of the worldly gains. Love some gains, love some money, love the work, love something else. When the person is stealing something, why is he stealing? He loves that worldly gain, so he's picking it up. He knows it's haram, but he's stealing. This is love for the worldly gain. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that this is the root of every sin that people commit in this life. And this is why it's fard for the ummah to get this love out of our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's main message, one of his main messages was that get the love of the worldly gain out of your heart. And it's not something very easy. It's easy to talk about it. Yeah, that's very easy. I can say I don't love the worldly gain. I don't have any love for this gold and silver. But it's not easy to practically adopt this method in our life. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam to teach us how to do this. Because we have to use this worldly gain. We have to use the money. We have to use the homes. We have to use the cars. We have to use the clothing. We have to use everything in this life. So how can we use everything and yet not have the love for it? It's not that easy thing. It's not very easy to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his ahadith, he very nicely taught us how to do this. The scholars have given a beautiful example of this. They say this worldly gain is just like having a boat in the middle of the ocean. This boat is our life. We human beings, our example is just like a boat. Where do we run the boats? On the roads? No. In the water. So we must have the water in order for us to be able to use the boat. For the boat to run, we need the water. So we must have the water. But the water must stay outside. There shouldn't be any hole in the boat, otherwise the water will start sinking in the boat and finally the boat will be drowned. Same thing, we must have the dunya, the worldly gain around us in order for us to run this life and to make up in this life, to fulfill our needs and necessities of the life. But we should not allow it to sink into our hearts. Keep it outside. Don't have the love of it inside your hearts. Because as soon as it starts getting into the heart, then the person starts drowning into this world again. And finally, once the person will start having too much love of it, he gets totally lost in this life. And starts neglecting the orders of Allah. Starts neglecting the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we just talked about, neglects every other rule of the life just for this worldly gain and for these dollars and gold and silver. There was a person whose name was Fariduddin Attar. You know, Attar means perfume. And he was called Al-Attar because he had a store where he used to sell the perfume. He was a businessman, normal businessman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have accepted some of his good deeds and he wanted this man to become a real virtuous person. But he's a businessman, he's always busy, day and night, busy in improving his business. One day as he was sitting in his store, and you know, when you have people who sell perfumes, you go to a store where they sell perfume, there are all bottles of perfume all around. So the Paul's store is full of those bottles of perfumes. And he's sitting in the middle of the store, and the customers are coming, buying, and leaving. And he has a real big store full of these perfumes. So an old man comes. You look at him, you can tell that he's a very poor man. He starts looking all around in the store. And keeps on going around in the store and looking at all of these bottles. So, this Fariduddin Attar is watching this man for a long time, and this man just walking around looking at these bottles. So he goes to him and he says, "Excuse me, can I help you?" He said, "No, I'm just looking around." Okay. So he keeps on looking around. Now he couldn't take it anymore and says, "You know, you keep on looking at all the bottles and you are here for hours now and looking at these bottles. What do you need? You need something special?" "No, I don't need anything." "Do you want to buy something?" "I don't want to buy anything." "So then why are you looking at these bottles? You better leave the store if you don't want to buy anything." He said, "The only reason I'm looking at all of these bottles, I was thinking how many bottles you have. And I was thinking there are thousands of bottles in your store. So I'm wondering, if it is the time of your death, how are you going to die? How would your soul come out of all of these bottles? It will take a long time. And you will have a lot of pain because your soul has to come out of each of these bottles. What do you mean?" He says, "Because your heart is attached with each and every bottle in the store. You love these bottles. Your soul is part of these bottles, is in these bottles. Your love is in these bottles. When you die, you will be thinking, 'I'm living this, I'm living this, I'm living this,' and it will be so difficult for you to die. How are you going to die?" So he's just a normal businessman. He's not a scholar. So he got upset. And he said, "Forget about me. How would you die?" He said, "Are you asking me?" He said, "Yes." So he went and he made wudu. He laid down, he puts his sheet up, says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." And now there is no movement anymore. See, this Fariduddin Attar goes and he moves the sheet from his face, and that person is dead. So he realized that he must be a special man. And now that question is coming to his mind: how would I die? Love of all of these bottles in my mind. I can't leave my business. You know, when a person has a business, he has all of this merchandise. He loves all of these things that are in the store. He has a real love of it. He can't leave none of these things. So he realized that, yeah, that's true. I have a lot of love for this worldly gain that's keeping me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left everything, gave it away. Gave everything away. And he went back and went to some of the scholars and started doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, he became one of the greatest scholars in Islam. His name is known as Haja Fariduddin Attar rahmatullahi alayhi. So the worldly gain and the worldly life, this, the love of this worldly gain keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a great scholar, he says, "Once Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi came to me and he asked me a question. The question was, 'How do you make your living and how much trust you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to sustenance food?'" A very important question. How much trust do you have in Allah when it comes to sustenance to your food? Before I tell you his reply and the reply of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, we must know who Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi was. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi was, originally he was a king. But he was a person that with his kingdom, he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loved to be a virtuous man, a very close servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loved doing a lot of service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means he wanted to be a muttaqi, zahid. One day, night time, he's sitting at his home and he hears some noise on the roof of his home. And he realized that someone is walking. Someone is walking on the roof of my home. So he shouts, "He's the king. Who can come on the house on the roof of the king's home?" Or we should say the castle of the king. So he shouts from in there, "Who's up there?" And the person says, "Oh, I lost my camel. I'm looking for my camel." So I said to him, "What's wrong with you? How can your camel come on the roof of my home? Your camel will get on the roof of my home? How would your camel come up here?" He says, "If you think something is wrong with me, looking for my camel at the roof of your home, then something is wrong with you looking for being waliyullah and muttaqi and everything with this kingdom and sitting in this castle. If I can't find my camel on the roof of your home, you can become waliyullah and muttaqi by staying in this castle. I'm leaving this your home, but you have to leave too." He realized that this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave the whole kingdom away. He left everything and he went away. It's a long story, but this is the part I wanted to narrate, that this is who this person was. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. So Shaqiq Balqi rahmatullahi alayhi says, once Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi asked me, "Tell me something about your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to food, that how much trust you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He says, "Alhamdulillah, I have good trust in Allah." He says, "Explain it to me." He says, "Whenever I get food, I eat it and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I don't get it, then I just have patience. I never complain." So he says, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, of course, if we look at it, it sounds great. That the person says, "Whenever I get it, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, he gave me the food. If he doesn't give it to me, then I never complain. I have patience." Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi said, "This is how the dogs behave in our town. This is how the dogs behave in our town. This is the trust of the dogs in our town in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when they get the food, they eat it. When they don't get it, they don't complain." So he said, "Then tell me about yourself." He says, "When I get the food, I give it to others. When I don't get it, I thank Allah for what I have." Forget about having patience. Having patience for what? I already have so many of His blessings, so I thank Allah for what I have. So this was the dunya. This is what the dunya meant to those people. This is how much trust they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I was mentioning, the love of Allah would come only once we will let the love of the worldly gain get out of our hearts and our minds. Then only the love of Allah and the love of the deen of Allah will start getting into our hearts. Inshallah, we will talk about the hadith of this chapter in our next session. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ